Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state reported 3 new COVID-19 cases yesterday, 2 in Anchorage and 1 in Willow, bringing Alaska's running total to 399, with 345 of those recovered. Alaska's daily new case numbers have remained in the single digits for weeks now. And speaking during a press conference last night, State Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink said, Alaska is in a place now where individuals can begin to cautiously widen their social circle.
So say that you have a close set of friends and you have kids a similar age that really enjoy playing together. That thinking about extending your bubble to kind of a double bubble, that those two families interacting together, but not expanding from outside of that double bubble.
Dr. Zink emphasized that risk is not the same for everyone and that those who work in healthcare, have contact with vulnerable people, including the elderly, need to be much more cautious. Governor Dunleavy indicated that the state is poised to further ease restrictions on activities and businesses this week.
Make things simpler so people understand. So we're going to condense advisories down to a number of advisories, so you're not looking through pages and pages and pages. And it's really going to be advisories about you as individuals, what you can do to stay healthy and what you can do to ensure that others around you stay healthy.
The governor said specifics will be laid out in coming days, adding that as life returns closer to normal, more COVID-19 cases are to be expected, but that Alaska's healthcare system is equipped to handle them. The Alaska legislature gathered in the Capitol in Juneau yesterday to consider a plan to spend federal COVID-19 relief money. KTOO and Alaska Public Media report that lawmakers, staff, and news media were screened for coronavirus before entering the building. A set of rules distributed to lawmakers said face masks were mandatory. All of the House members wore masks during a floor session. 6 of the 7 members of the Senate Finance Committee chose not to wear masks during a committee meeting. House Speaker Dillingham Independent Bryce Edgman says representatives were complying with safety rules.
It will be my intent as the presiding officer to work with everyone to get our work done in as timely a manner as possible.
That work entails considering a bill that would allow Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration to send more than $1.1 billion in federal CARES Act relief to communities, small businesses, and others. The Senate Finance Committee approved a bill ratifying the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee's recent approval of Governor Dunleavy's plan to spend the federal relief. A series of local and nonprofit leaders urged the committee to pass the bill. Northwest Arctic Borough Mayor Lucy Nelson asked the committee to move quickly.
We have experienced shortfalls of basic cleaning supplies and PPE to meet the needs of each community serviced by our borough. I can't tell you how hard it's been just to purchase basic necessities like tissue and hand wipes and Purell and all the other products to slow this pandemic down.
Additionally, the Senate Rules Committee introduced a resolution that would suspend the legislature's rules during a pandemic to allow legislators to attend a session by video conference. Chena Hot Springs Resort plans to reopen Friday. The popular destination 60 miles east of Fairbanks has been closed since March 21st due to the pandemic. But as Alaska's disease rate has slowed and stabilized, resort marketing director Javier Villasenor-Gaona says public demand has rebounded.
People are actually driving up here a lot and they were literally trespassing. So we found out that people do want to come out here. If we follow the mandates, we can do it safely and have the guests come back.
Villasenor-Gaona says state health mandates are especially complicated for the resort because it offers such a wide range of facilities, including pools, a restaurant, a hotel, and greenhouse.
We actually operate like 8 businesses in one. So it's like very hard to pinpoint what we need to follow. And then when you go in deep and read the mandates, they're kind of difficult to understand in a way. They mention things one way and then on another mandate, they mention it a different way.
Villasenor-Gaona says that both the state health mandates and resort rules could change by this weekend, but that currently special precautions are planned to minimize risk of disease spread.
We are going to have like a checkpoint at the gate to register everybody that comes in, do a screening before and after they get here. When they get here, we're going to be asking a few questions, and then we're going to have a temperature gun ready. If we need to take any temperature, we're going to have an employee login where we're going to be screening every employee before their shift.
Villasenor-Gaona says guests are asked to bring and wear their own masks. dining will be outdoors, and resort-wide capacity restrictions are likely.
We don't want to have confrontations with our guests. You know, some people are very skeptical about the situation. Some people are very scared about it. I think that it's going to be something we're going to figure out the first week that we open.
He notes that the resort is in top shape as employees have remained living on site through the closure, doing maintenance, renovations, and deep cleaning. He says staff were initially furloughed but are being paid again thanks to a federal Paycheck Protection Program loan. Organizers of the Tanana Valley State Fair in Fairbanks say they'll decide soon whether to hold this year's event. KWC's Tim Ellis reports.
State officials have eased up on some of the restrictions imposed over the past couple of months to reduce the spread of COVID-19, like their recent decision to allow groups of up to 50 to congregate. But Tanana Valley State Fair Executive Director Mala Strohmeyer says she and other organizers worry about trying to pull off a much bigger event.
The jump from a 50-person gathering to a 10,000-person gathering is a pretty big leap.
Strohmeyer says organizers certainly want to stage the event on this, its 96th year.
Our most important concern is the safety and well-being of our community. So we are weighing very heavily all of the options involved in having a fair this year.
Strohmeyer says members of the fair's board of directors will continue studying how they might be able to conduct the event, and she says they'll announce their decision in 2 weeks. The Tanana Valley State Fair was tentatively scheduled to begin July 31st. That's the same day that the Deltana Fair and Music Festival in Delta Junction was supposed to begin. But the fair's board of directors has already announced it's canceled this year's event in Delta due to coronavirus concerns. Board President Paul Meyer says he still holds out hope they can put on at least an abbreviated version of the event a little later in the summer. But Meyer says that would only happen if state officials ease up even more on restrictions, especially social distancing guidelines that require people to maintain 6 feet of space between them. And he says right now, that seems unlikely.
From what the state has told me and our local emergency management told me, no, it will not be over.
If the Deltana Fair is canceled, it'll be the first time since 1980 that the event won't be held. Meanwhile, organizers of the Salcha Country Fair say they too still hope to conduct this year's event. The fair board revamped it in 2018 and scheduled it to be held a bit later in August. Board President Christy Abel said Monday she and her fellow board members are waiting to see what the state does before making a decision on whether to hold their fair. In Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
The census is back after being put on hold for the coronavirus pandemic. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
Petersburg resident Desi Burrell has been working long days, going door to door, leaving a census survey for people to fill out. The questionnaire is required for every household in the nation. The good news is it has only 9 questions.
They're really wanting to know, who was living in your household on April 1st?
Burrell and other census workers started the job on March 15th, and they worked 1 week before being shut down for the COVID-19 virus. Their work started back up on May 6th. It's been a little different than normal census years. It's now being done through no contact. Burrell doesn't ask people questions or help them fill out the census. She just hangs a bag with the questionnaire in it on their door.
So my job is mapping to make sure that your home is listed in our maps, and then I'm leaving a questionnaire for you to either do online through the phone help or mail in.
Burrell encourages people to go online and do the census that way, which takes just a few minutes. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And I'm Dan Bross.